Today on Card Subject to Change, Nick and I welcome the one called Manders into the studio. I am the Wizard CZ, and Card Subject to Change is brought to you by the For Frequency Sake Podcast Network, where you can catch other great podcasts like The Educated Ignorance, The Data Lab, and of course, Card Subject to Change. Nick, how you feeling this evening, my friend?
Hey, not too bad. We're back here. We got double duty here on the show this week, and anytime we can get someone on the line and talk about wrestling and talk about why they like wrestling, it's a plus, and we've got a plus here tonight. The one called man, Steve Manders, is joining us. Steve, welcome to Card Subject Change.
What's up, y'all? Thanks for having me. A little late night talking wrestling, right? Can't beat it. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there's
I could talk wrestling any time of the day.
Well, Steve, thanks for joining us here on Card Subject to Change. We know you've got a busy schedule going on. Kind of catch us up with what's going on in the world of the one called Manders.
Oh, shoot. Well, it's October, so it's birthday month, but it's been pretty busy. Last week I was in Kansas City for Journey Pro. And then the next night I was in Cleveland, Ohio for AIW. And then this week I'm all over the place. I'm in St. Louis Anarchy on Friday wrestling Davey Richards, which is like pretty nuts to me that I'm wrestling Davey Richards. And then the next night I'm at West Coast Pro in San Francisco. And then Sunday I'm in GCW in Atlantic City, New Jersey. So we're just all over the goddamn place.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're all over the map this week.
And then the next week after that, third week of October, it's the Jim Lynham tournament in Chicago for AAW, which is, it's a big deal to me and to a lot of people, guys like Merrick Brave and Crotch and Rollins, and, that's where they all came from. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Big fan of AAW. I'm going to be completely north of there. Otherwise, I'd love to go check that out. That'd be a great time for sure. One thing we always kind of start off with, Manders, is how did you discover your love of wrestling? Both as a fan and kind of what brought you into the business.
So I got two answers, I guess. When I was a kid, I can't remember specifically when. I was probably about like maybe five, maybe six. So that's about like 2001, 2000 maybe, where I was at my dad's house or something like that. And I was, he put on Monday Night Raw, and I was like, Dad, what is this? And he goes, oh, son, it's like, he said like, he said it's pro wrestling or whatever, it's WWE. And I was like, oh, is it like in season or whatever? Because I was a kid, I didn't know anything. And he was like, yeah, something like that. And then on the TV, here comes, this beer drinking, redneck badass Stone Cold Steve Austin, so that was like my first recollection of pro wrestling. And then, I was hooked on it when I was a kid, right? Sunday nights, I'd beg my mom to buy the pay-per-view and make sure I stay up late so I can watch it all. And I promised her, I got all my homework done for school tomorrow. I'm all packed and ready to go. So because I'm going to be tired the next day and stuff like that. And somewhere along the way, we fast forward to college days playing football at Iowa. And I met a guy named Tori Ewan, which people know him as Big E. He played football at Iowa. And he was in WWE at the time. And he came to stop by, check out the facilities, and I got to meet him, and we were just shooting the shit, and he was telling me there's a gym in Davenport, Iowa called Black and Brave, and kind of the rest is history.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, pretty wild.
You mentioned Stone Cold. Is that one of your influences coming into wrestling?
Yeah, I'd say Steve and like Sting were like, when I was a kid, like those two were like my favorite. So
I can get behind that for sure.
Yeah, those are pretty good ones.
Manders.
Always.
can you give me a Shivani? It's Steve!
Hold on.
Oh my God, it's Sting!
Yes.
Nick, you knew right where I was going with that.
I'm telling you, dude, I love it every time Sting comes on the TV. Just for, I mean, I love Sting, don't get me wrong, but hearing Siobhan, man, it just takes me back to my childhood.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I'm glad we could share that moment.
I think I did all right there with the Siobhan.
Oh, absolutely. I think so.
100%.
It was pretty sick. It was in the summer. It was like in August, I think, or late July. I can't remember, but it was the Ric Flair show. And I got to be in the Battle Royal. And
Yes, the Bunkhouse Battle Royal.
Yeah, and just to see, like, Tony Schiavone in the back. It was so sick. I, like, shook his hand and met him. It was, like,
that's
the coolest
awesome
thing ever. It's, like, all, like, the times when, like, when I was a kid, just hearing Sting come out, you know, or just, like, just whatever. It didn't matter. It's awesome.
Well, Manders, I love that you're sharing this story about the backstage at the Ric Flair show. And keeping with the fan part of this, talking about how you're crisscrossing the map right now. And obviously you're putting the work in and you're getting work and being in front of the fans. But also you get to be a fan and all the people you're meeting and getting to wrestle. You talk about wrestling Davey Richards here in the future. You talk about meeting Tony Schiavone. You know, put your fan hat on for a second. You're meeting a lot of awesome people and having some pretty cool stories.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Some people, you know, there's some, they have the saying too, you know, where like you don't meet your heroes, where there's some people I won't say that I've met that I'm just like, damn,
sure,
that sucks.
Sure.
But no, there's some, especially that Flair show. It was pretty sick. Like, we're just like just chilling back there. It was like me, Mance, and Justice, and Effie, and we're just like, you know, we see like Ric Flair and Jeff Jarrett, and you know, Jeff Jarrett's been on some GCW shows with us, and
yes, sir, yep,
and Moxley, you know, like Moxley like hangs out with us, and just, you know, just it's just kind of crazy.
I mean, one of the biggest wrestlers in the world right now just kind of hangs out with the one called Manders.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty wild. Just like, I mean, shoot, like even like meeting Seth Rollins for the first time too, you know?
Sure,
I mean,
sure. Like,
and now he's my wrestling dad. And like, it doesn't matter what hour of the day, it doesn't matter what time or whatever. If I message him, he'll respond within 30 minutes. It's pretty nuts. So
yeah, that's awesome.
And that,
yeah,
and
it's
that's
pretty crazy.
That's great to know that a guy who's working for the biggest company in the world, in the midst, you know, of you know, the run of his career, he's in the prime of his career, and
literally,
doesn't forget you, his work son, one of his work sons. That's cool that you still have that relationship with him. Oftentimes, you hear where people, you know, don't have relationships like that. And that's cool that you have that relationship with him. That's an awesome. I'm glad you shared that.
Yeah, he, you know, Colby's great, right? Like he sometimes, like, you know, he's an introvert, right? He doesn't really say much in certain circumstances. And when you first start too and stuff like that, when you're starting wrestling, he can be a little tough at times. But that's just because he loves his business so much, right? So, like, once he sees, like, how much, you know, work you're putting in and stuff like that, he really helps you out even more, which is crazy. I've had him just message me, like, just at random hours of the day, just asking questions and stuff like that. And, like, how's it going and all that, checks up in on you and stuff. And that's pretty cool. Yeah.
And you're
and I never asked that too, you know what I mean? So it just shows what kind of guy.
And you're, you know, you're definitely a workhorse in the business. You know, Merrick Bravis was on the show a week or so ago. You were one of the names on his short list of people we should watch out for, which I'm glad we were able to get you on the show for that reason alone. excited to talk about some of your experiences as far as like recent history. About a month ago, you were in an Impact Wrestling ring going for the AAW championship in Chicago. What was that experience like for you?
That was pretty crazy too. You talk about putting your fan hat on, you see guys like, you know, like Scott Armstrong and Road Dogg and D'Lo, and they're all your agents for your matches, and Tommy Dreamer and a bunch of people like that. And, you know, and a lot of the people backstage at Impact, I've seen them a lot on shows. So that part of like for example, like when we were like at the Flair show, like it was kind of intimidating at times because you have all these like, you know, big heads around. But like at Impact, and this is not to downgrade Impact at all, it just shows you how much comfortability it was, where it's like at the Impact show, like a lot of the guys that I see and see all the time, I see them all the time. So like it just felt comfortable. Like it was just like, it was cool. And then even after that, like I've been on some shows, like, I think it was like 2 weeks ago or something like that. I was on a show and like Matt Taven and Eddie Edwards and Mike Bennett were there, and they all came up to me and said, "What's up?" You know what I mean? So like, it's like, damn, that's kind of cool. And the experience was sweet. Just being an Impact those 2 days, just being a fly on the wall, honestly, that was cool.
Being a fly on the wall, soaking up all that, and also getting your name out there so more faces, more people see the one called Manders. A prime opportunity for you, a good match, and I thought it was a good showing, and just another way for you to get out there. You know, I've known you through Scott County Wrestling. I've seen you on GCW shows. You're a fan. Give me a show that you like to go back and watch just for the hell of it, whether it's a good show or whether it's a bad show. Something to watch, you watch, it's kind of like your go-to. Hey, it could be because it's really good or because it's really bad.
Like a show that, like that I'm on or whatever, or like
that you're on, or an old show, like an old pay-per-view. Yeah, give me a couple answers. That's cool.
Yeah, I might give you several ones.
That's totally fine.
I normally watch every show back that I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to pick like two shows, like I really watch, like the shows that I've been on or gonna be on or whatever is West Coast Pro,
mm-hmm.
and H2O. I really like H2O is a company out in South Jersey that Matt Tremont runs.
Okay.
And if you know like GCW and the deathmatch world, like Matt Tremont's like I think Tremont's the GOAT. He trains, he has a school and he trains kids and he has a promotion out there, and I always try to watch some of their like all the kids stuff. And like for example, like I always watch like Ryan Redfield stuff. He's like my tag partner. We're the tag champs at H2O right now. And
okay.
I just always watch their stuff just to give feedback and stuff like that. I've been in wrestling a little more longer than they have. And then West Coast, I always like to watch it because it's always, you know, Scott and Vinny Massaro out there in Cali and San Fran. They do a hell of a freaking show, and I have a great time every time I'm out there. And yeah, it's pretty great. If I'm just like watching for leisure though, like tape study or whatever.
Yeah,
it's a lot of old stuff. It ain't. I mean, I'll watch all wrestling, obviously. Like I like everything. But if I had to pick, it's All Japan 90s or 80s, like late 80s, early 90s, All Japan or either some territory stuff like World Class or Mid South. Those are probably the three I probably would watch if I had to pick.
Okay. Oh, I love all these answers. This is great stuff. I love hearing what other people like to watch. That's why I asked, you know, I'm writing these things down because it's probably going to be stuff I go back and watch. So,
yeah, like 86 World Class is like really freaking good, I think. And there's some great shit on there that just blows my mind. I can't remember the two girls' names. They were luchadores or luchadores or whatever, luchadoras or whatever the female term is called. but it was the show where Harley Race and Kerry Von Erich wrestled. But these two girls, they like did some insane shit, especially in 86. In modern day terms, they were doing more insane shit than like what females do on the indies and even on TV. So it like blew my mind.
And, okay.
It's on the network. I can't remember where specifically, but there's just some stuff on there that just blows my mind.
You've got me pointed down a rabbit hole that I can't wait to jump into. I mean, that's,
yeah, it's, and the great thing about like World Class back then, especially at all territory wrestling back then, it's only like an hour.
Yeah.
Or like 45 minutes. So like you get like a good, like, you know what I mean? Like I can watch all these matches and be fine. And
yeah, you're not losing a lot of time. Right. Yeah, right. Sure.
And, yeah, I would say like 86 World Class is pretty good. Mid-South stuff is pretty good. And then I would say like my favorite is probably All Japan, especially like early 90s, like 90,
93,
92.
Okay.
I'd say 94 is a pretty good year too. 94 All Japan's like the best shit I've ever seen. Just like Dr. Death and Stan Hansen and Terry Gordy and – you can even piggyback Terry Gordy in World Class in 86 too. So it's a bunch of stuff. So it's the kind of stuff I like.
You're talking about these big bruiser guys that everybody knows and loves. Okay.
Yeah.
Book your dream match. They could be living or dead. Which one of those big badass bruisers would you like to go out there and just go at it with?
Oh God. The one that comes to my mind, and it sounds crazy, is probably Abdullah the Butcher.
Okay.
Just because.
Yes.
I like. So like I've been lately. I've been not to break kayfabe, but lately I've been like trying to wrestle matches without really like calling a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of just feel the crowd. Like I'll still tell people like I might do this, I might do that. Or, like, I still give them a general idea. I give them like a blueprint, but I'm not doing A to Z, and I don't mind doing A to Z at all. Like, I mean, guys like Macho Man and Ricky Steamboat were doing that, so it's like it's not a new thing. But lately, I've been like trying to do that. I might call like one spot or two, like, but a lot of it's kind of just feel out, and I feel like me and Abdullah would be very great at that. I don't know, so. I think it would be sick.
Would there be an electric chair involved?
No electric chair. There may be a railroad spike or a 10-inch nail though, for sure.
Probably. Oh man! Yeah.
Just as long as we avoid that chamber of horrors, right?
Yeah. That was probably one of WCW's like worst moments. Like it's like a car wreck. Like you can't. You don't. Oh. It's so bad that it's so good to see. You know what I mean?
And hey, and props to Abdullah for the sell job, right?
Yeah, right. No kidding.
Well,
dude, Abdullah's the man. He gets so much shit sometimes, but like that guy knew what he was doing.
Manners, you just gave us a match that we're gonna, or a show that we're gonna review down the road because Nick hates me for this, but I love going back and watching just the worst wrestling shows ever and reliving them. So that's that just got added to the list. Sorry, Nick.
No, that's all right. That's all right. I enjoy it too. I've got my favorites too, but yeah, that's one I can't wait because that match is just top of the list for all time bad, but in a good way.
Yeah.
I was talking to Mike Bennett the other day at a show. It was like him and Matt Taven, and they were talking about like the night prior. They were at some. They were like in their hotel room or whatever, and they were watching like the worst matches, like ever or something. And I don't think it's like a bad match, but it's just so ludicrous. I don't know if you guys know it. There's this match in Big Japan, and it's called a piranha death match, where it's like a casket, but instead of a casket, it's a fish tank with piranhas in it.
Okay.
And it's on YouTube, I think. And like that might be the most absurd match I've ever seen. So maybe go look that up too.
The Big Japan Big Piranha match?
Yeah, Piranha Death Match, Big Japan. Ah. I don't know why. It's fucking nuts.
That sounds insane.
Yeah, go watch it.
Another rabbit hole that Manders has sent us down. Gee, man.
I got a few.
Well, gentlemen, we're going to take a quick time out. We got to pay some dues to our podcast brethren here. So I'm going to play the promo and we'll be right back.
Make sure you tune into For Frequency's Sake on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch each Sunday during the football season from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. The boys from For Fantasy's Sake will be bringing the fire fantasy football takes, updating you on the week's rankings and injuries, and getting you ready for your fantasy football matchups each and every week. The show is interactive, so be sure to send your questions. You can find them at For Frequency's Sake on Facebook, at FFSQC on Twitter, or you can send them an email at forfantasysakeqc@gmail.com.
Thank you very much, Joe the Show Winkle. Manders, I want to go back. You were talking about All Japan. Read somewhere online a few days ago that someone was thinking your style would just be fantastic in Japan. I want your thoughts on that, and if that's something you would actually how you would feel going over to Japan to wrestle for a while if they asked you to come over?
Oh, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Any dream matches from Japanese wrestlers that you'd like to get in the ring with overseas?
I think there's a few guys. I think that Kento Misahara guy is pretty good. Or like maybe like Nakajima, who's like a dude that's been around forever. I guess both of them have been around forever, honestly. Kento Misahara is like a guy from All Japan, like now. He's been a couple time Triple Crown champion. Him and Nakajima is like one of the best like cruiserweight guys from NOAH, like probably ever. It was kind of cool to wrestle Joe Doering. I wrestled Joe Doering not too long ago, who's a guy that, I mean, he's a gaijin or whatever, but he's been multi-time Triple Crown winner too, and just like to hear, just to pick his brain, just to hear his kind of his avenues and how he is, and you know, he does a cowboy gimmick and stuff, and it's kind of crazy that he's got cancer right now, or brain cancer again, and he just beat that like not too long ago, and now he's got it, but Not to put a sour note on that, but
oh no! When you brought that up, I just wanted to say, yeah, he just recently got diagnosed with cancer again. He was in an Impact, part of Violent by Design. Yeah, so yeah, best wishes to him, you know, in his fight and his treatment for cancer. He's beaten it once. Hope he can beat it again.
Yeah,
for sure.
No kidding, but no, yeah, I think wrestling over there would be pretty sweet. That's kind of the big dream bucket list kind of thing at the moment. It would to be wrestling over there. A couple of my buddies are over there now or have been over there. Like GCW was just there literally about 2 days ago. And then, Dante Leon, he just did a tour over there for a while. And then Ninja Mac was over there. I think Ninja Mac might be back over there.
Okay.
And I think Dante's going back over there again.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
I'm pretty sure
pretty sure Grotch mentioned that on Sunday that Dante was heading back over there.
Yeah, so I think that'd be cool. In November, I think it's like Nakajima and Mare Fuji, they're coming over. to do the King of the Indies, which is like a tournament they do out in California, which West Coast Pro actually like helps, or they're helping out this year. And they're doing a NOAA tryout, which I'll be participating in. So we'll see what happens.
Excellent. That's awesome.
That'll be something to keep an eye out
on
the Xander phone in the future. That's awesome.
Yeah, see what happens. I mean, that's in November, so we'll see.
So one of our podcast brethren here on the For Frequency Sake podcast network, he considers himself the tribal chief. His name is DJ. He wanted me to ask you what your favorite NFL run-in was in SCW between Pat Anger and George Kittle.
Oh, God. They were both sick. I might be a tad biased on picking George, because me and George have been friends for over 10 years, I might be a little biased on that. But Pat Anger was pretty sick too. Pat's sick. I didn't get to play football with Pat, but I think somewhere in my junior senior year, Pat was interning for strength conditioning coaches at Iowa at the time, so we got to talk then, and we kind of bonded then. So it was kind of cool to full circle do that again. And me and Pat text back and forth every now and then. But yeah, they're both sick. I can't pick which one. They both were awesome.
Well, that's okay. That's pretty cool. Follow up to that, you were talking about NFL players. We're talking about you playing football here. How was your transition? What was it like going from the football field into the wrestling ring? Talk about that for a bit.
It's like anything, right? It had its pros and cons. Being a D1 football player, right? I'm not saying you have a luxury life, but you get some pretty nice perks with it, right? You get like the nicest facilities and the greatest food and all that kind of stuff, right? And you get the best workout, you know, regimens and everything. You know, where in indie wrestling, you kind of got to figure it out yourself. You know what I mean? Sure, you might have some good resources, like working out at the Black and Gray Room is pretty great, right? That's a pretty damn good resource. But it's not, you know, Iowa football, you know, making millions of dollars a year and helping out 100 plus people on your team. Right, versus like 20, you know what I mean? But in the same time, like helping out, like being in football, kind of helped me out with that physicality with wrestling, right? Like just taking bumps and you know, knowing how your body works and stuff like that to do that in wrestling, because
sure.
It's not – neither one is easy. They're both gruesome, right? And they're both physically high demanding and stuff like that. I guess another con would be, like, the luxury of, like, you know, like when we would go play, like, Indiana or whatever, right? We would take a charter plane or whatever. And that would take, like – that flight's, like, maybe, like, an hour and a half. Or, like, if I got to go wrestle in Indiana, I'd go drive, like, 6 hours. You know what I mean? Like, on your own car. So, like, or your own truck or whatever. So, like, there was some perks in that were different than, you know what I mean? But having, like, the mental toughness of being in football, like, helped me out with wrestling where, like, I could do those drives and stuff like that. And then especially at the time when I was, like, learning to be a wrestler, I was commuting to Davenport like every day, you know, at least 3 times a week. So like I would go, I'd go finish my like classes, and then I'd go drive an hour to Davenport, work out, do the wrestling, and then that was at the time when they did classes late at night. So like by the time it's midnight, I gotta go, you know, classes over. I gotta go drive an hour back. So I'd commute 2 hours a day, at least on my day, which isn't that bad, you know, compared to like. You know, people like commute to DC or LA or whatever the hell, but it was kind of preparing me for those drives that you got to make in wrestling that makes a difference with a lot of people. Some people won't do those, you know what I mean? So like, Yeah.
We were talking about, you were talking about the NFL, the parallels between the NFL and football, not necessarily the NFL, but football and wrestling. And football, there's a rigorous schedule and upkeep of your body, you know, to keep going. You talked about earlier in this podcast all the places you got booked and all across the country. How do you maintain, you know, you talk about the driving up and down the road, but, you know, it's a grind to have to, you know, go to the gym, right? It's when you're dead tired. Yes. Talk about that a little bit, but put that in perspective. I think a lot of people lose focus on the fact that, you know, pro wrestlers have this rigorous schedule, almost ungodly at times, but yet they're still out there doing it day in and day out.
It's almost kind of like a rock star lifestyle in a way, right? Like,
right.
You're on some damn tour bus and you're hopping around, or you're on some plane, you're flying this way and that way. Like, at least in like football, right? You're prepping for a week for one event.
Right.
And wrestling, you got to like, you're preparing for three, you know, for like, for this example, for this weekend, I'm preparing for three events in three different time zones. So it's like, how do you do that? I don't know how, sometimes I don't know how I do it. I think a lot of it's just a callus of been doing it for so damn long that you just get used to it.
Well, sure. I'm sure when you've done it as much as you have and how, you know, this schedule you keep, you talk about you're prepping yourself for three matches this weekend. You know, it's Friday,
it's
Saturday.
It's hard too, because not every wrestler has a, they say shoot job. Not every wrestler has a shoot job, but I mean, I work from 7 to 3, 7 to 4 every day, you know, manual labor and stuff like that. So it's like you do that on top of that, and then you got to go to the gym too. It's kind of hard. And then on top of that, you got to make all these towns too. So it's kind of, it ain't easy. That's for sure.
And but I would, of
but,
course,
but I wouldn't have it any other way though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's kind of what I like. I guess I like punishment in a way. I don't know.
Well, you did play college football, right?
Yeah.
So you're a glutton for it, but that football regimen and the rigor to that had to, you know, probably give you an added bonus in the category when it comes to grinding, right? You're just used to it.
Yeah, I would say so. I've been, you know, we've been doing it since I was, God, like 4 years old, 5 years old. So it's kind of all the same in some aspects. Maybe some years are tougher than others, but
when you were saying, Manders, about the three matches this weekend, you're preparing for three different opponents on Sunday or whenever that last show is. Let's just say it's Sunday. On Sunday after that last show, how long does it take you to come down and recover from that and get back to where you need to be?
God, probably like a day or two. Probably sure. Like a few days. Like, yeah. Like that Monday when I get up to go to work is going to suck. But you got to get up and do it. Drink a cup of coffee. Take the dogs out. Run them out. You know, kiss your girl goodbye and go to work. Probably about Tuesday, Wednesday, I'll probably feel normal again. But then by the time it's Tuesday, Wednesday, I got
right
2 days, maybe a day to go back and collect because I got another show next weekend. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Yeah.
So it's not much, but I'll take it though.
Just always on to the next highway, right?
Yeah. It's like you're riding a lightning bolt, right? Like, you guys were talking about earlier, like all your experiences and stuff like that. And I was going to say to you guys, I was like, if I can remember, because sometimes I forget, and I always write like I got an Excel document on my phone where it has all my like calendar events of like who I wrestled, what day it was, what promotion, what was it, you know, like how was the match, what was it like, how long was it? Like I try to keep track of all that.
You know what? I think going forward, you're going to be appreciative of doing that. And, you know, who knows? Maybe a best-selling book is in your future.
Chris Jericho did it.
Yeah,
so.
I guess so. Maybe.
Well, Chris Jericho did it, but Chris Jericho hasn't come on this podcast yet, so I'm going to put my money in Manders' pocket.
I can agree with that. Manders, I want to circle back to something Nick touched on here. He was asking me a specific question that I'm going to ask kind of a generalized question. He was asking about bruisers that you'd like to get in the ring with here and just go at it. If you could set yourself in one match against anyone, past, present, or future, any style, who are you going to put, who are you going to book yourself with?
Like as a partner or going against them?
Either or.
Oh God. Are we counting SGC or are we not counting SGC? Cause I would totally put, you know, Mance and Justice like with me because we do it already. And, those guys, we all think the same and we all wrestle the same and we fight the same and stuff like that. And I would, if I'm in a dark alley, man, I would like to have those two with me. You know what I mean?
For sure.
But if we're talking like fandom and like, if I put my fan hat on, God, it would have been cool to be with Doc and Gordy, but it also would be cool to be with like FTR right now. I think that'd be pretty sweet. I knew that was gonna pop, Nick. I've seen people tweet about it, like Manders is like the lost child of FTR, or I've even seen another one too. Is like the Briscoes, like that's a, when we talk about putting your fans.
Yeah, yeah,
I've gotten to like meet and talk to Jay and Mark Briscoe a lot, and those guys rule. And we talk about, you know, farming a bunch all the time, and I got to meet their dad and their grandpa and stuff like that. And it was pretty sick just to meet those guys. Those guys are cool.
And those guys have been doing it for such a long time.
God, they've been long doing the, freaking time.
They've been doing the chicken farming too for such a long time.
Yeah, like they, like damn, they wrestled. I mean, Merrick doesn't. I mean, they kind of broke Merrick's neck, or they did break Merrick's neck. But I mean, they wrestled both my trainers, which is pretty crazy too. So it's like to be on a show with them and stuff like that is pretty wild.
That's so awesome. Gentlemen, we're going to take one more quick time out and promote our website with for frequency's sake here. So I'll play that and we'll come right back.
In addition to bringing fire on the mic, the team at For Frequency's Sake is still bringing it online as well. Check out ForFantasySakeQC.com this season for college DFS, Survivor League, and betting advice each and every week of this football season. Again, that is ForFantasySakeQC.com for college DFS, Survivor League, and betting advice each week during the football season.
Thank you very much, Joe. So I'm just checking. I've asked a lot of my questions here. I'm just checking the list to see what else we can talk about.
I've got one to ask Manders. I'm going to ask Manders a non-wrestling question.
Yeah.
If you didn't choose or life didn't direct you to go down this path, what would the one called Manders, what would he be doing right now?
I would either be doing what I'm doing now without wrestling. I'd probably be working that shoot job and, you know, working on construction and stuff like that, or either that, or I'd probably be a football coach, one of the two.
Okay. Yeah,
absolutely.
Probably what it would be. I got my degree in coaching. So I think that would have been pretty cool if I get to do that someday. I think that'd be pretty cool. I've always, you know, I have a few loves, and definitely one of them is football. So I think being a football coach would have been pretty cool, and it still could happen. But you know, we'll see.
Well, let's hope that's years down the road. We got
long time.
We got plenty of years, hopefully, of Manders in the ring.
Yeah.
I agree.
But yeah, I think being a football coach would have been cool. And then it, like, if what if like what if what would it be? It probably would have been high school. I think high school football would have been cool to coach, just because I think it's kind of when, you know, you're becoming a boy to a man, and at least the beginning of your young man's life, I think, and that's kind of a lot of changes right there. You know, we've all three of us can attest to that. So
sure. Yeah.
So like, yeah. I think that there's something about it, and maybe it's because of my experiences and, you know, just being, you know, 17, turning 18, and, you know, that one last dance of playing football under those Friday night lights, I thought it was cool. You know what I mean? So
I'm getting to kind of live that right now. My oldest is 16. He's a sophomore and playing. And then my youngest is in fifth grade and he's playing. And just being able to, you're right, you know, being a part of that, I'm not even playing. I just get to sit there and watch under the Friday night lights. It just, you can't beat that feeling.
No, you can't. There's something about it. I don't know what it is. You can't describe it, but you know it's there. And yeah, it's like one of the best things. So
for sure.
Well, Manders, we'll wrap up here shortly. Go ahead, for the listeners, one more time. If you want to streamline your schedule, like just rattle off your next few dates coming up and where they can find you on social media. We want people getting on the Manders train.
Yeah. Shoot, this weekend I'm in St. Louis Anarchy on Friday. Saturday I'm in West Coast Pro in San Francisco. And then and then Sunday I'm at GCW for the Fight Club Night 2 in Atlantic City. So we're all over the goddamn map in the United States. And then the next week after that, I'm at the Jim Lynham tournament for AAW, which is in Chicago. That's the 14th and the 15th of October. And yeah, you can find me at One Called Manders on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and now TikTok. For the love of God, I have TikTok now.
Oh no.
So I got a good reason for it.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
There's this guy, and I'm sure you guys know who it is. His name's Gabe Sapolsky.
Yes, sir.
He just signed with WWE, but Gabe's been around wrestling forever, right? He was in Dragon Gate and he was in Ring of Honor and he did Evolve.
Yep.
And I've been doing some of his Twitter spaces lately, and I guess he really enjoys my work, which I didn't even know, which is kind of crazy. He like knows who the hell I am, so I thought that was cool. And he was kind of telling me, we were kind of like just shooting the shit, and I was telling him about how like social media presence and stuff, and we were talking about, I was like noticing that like when I tweet or when I post like short clips of like throwing the Larry, you know what I mean, in different various ways.
Yes, sir.
I've gotten like more likes and retweets from it or whatever. And he was like, you would be great at TikTok. And I was like, huh, okay. So I started thinking about it, and then I was on some show or whatever, and I was with Speedball Mike Bailey, and he was telling me the same damn thing. He was telling me you'd be great at TikTok, and I was like, well, I guess I'm going to be great at TikTok. So then I started it like 2 days ago, and I suck at it right now, but whatever. Something new, I guess.
Now be careful, because that thing can be highly and quickly addictive.
I know. I'll like see myself sometimes, like it'll be like 10 minutes or 15 minutes will go by and I've been on TikTok and I'm like, fuck, you know what I mean? Like, damn, like I need to go up and I need to go do something. I need to go do this. Why am I sitting here doing this? So yeah, I totally agree. So I don't know if it's a good thing or it's going to be a bad thing, but whatever.
Well, any press is good press, right?
Yeah. Right. I guess so.
Exactly. Manders, let me ask you this. I know you get back every once in a while, but when can we see you in the Quad Cities at SCW next?
I have no idea. The next time I'm in Iowa is December 3rd, though, which is for Revolver in Des Moines.
Okay.
I don't know. That's a good question. I was just there, like, what, like 2 weeks ago? Yeah, I was there 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that was fun. It's always good to go back to like, you know, where you started. I remember wrestling $5 at Walcott Coliseum at the world's largest truck stop. And then now you're hitting all those places. Like I said, I'm in three different time zones in 3 different days for 1 weekend, which is crazy. So it's kind of humbling to see where you started and this is where you're going. So
and I know the SCW Pro fans always love having you back. And I'm going to say the same thing. I'm going to speak for Nick here, and he can correct me if I'm wrong. But if you have time, we'd love to have you back on our show too.
Yeah, I likewise. Likewise.
Dude, this is totally cool getting to talk about things. I'm going to ask you one more wrestling question.
Yeah, shoot. Go for it.
What is your all-time favorite championship belt?
Oh, it's got to be the big gold belt, right? The world
yes.
heavyweight championship belt.
It's got to be, right? Right. Yeah. When I think of one belt, that's we're all on the same page here. That's synonymous. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's got to be. I guess a close second would be like the Eagle belt from WWF from like 92.
Okay.
The Winged Eagle. 92, 94. Like, that'd be a close second.
Yep,
maybe.
Yep. The Winged Eagle, yep.
I like the 24/7 championship. I'm kidding.
Get out of here.
I like the belt, but I hate the idea of how they did it.
Yes.
I like it when it was the hardcore belt and they made it a 24/7 belt.
Yes.
Yeah.
That I can get behind.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a belt that, like, people don't talk about that's sick. I'm trying to think. I guess I can say this. I think the Iowa championship belt that SCW Pro has is pretty sick.
Okay.
Just the fact that, like, it's got history to it of like the old territory days.
Yep.
And it's heavy and it's gold, right? Like, I like belts that are gold. Like, that's the point.
I agree.
I'm not a fan of, like, I like how, like, WWE has, like, it has WWE on the belt, but like the fact that it's a red or blue belt, I think it's weird. I don't know.
I don't like the silver or platinum of the WWE tag team belts. I wish they would go back to something with a little more gold in those.
Yeah, you're not going out to win the silver, you know. We're going out to grab we want the gold, you know. Yeah, I'm with you there. But no, those are good answers. Excellent answers.
Yeah, the world championship belt that Flair held is like the best belt.
And I loved when he came over to WWF and it was pixelated whenever he was on TV.
Oh, so sick. So sick.
Yeah, I loved that as a kid. I'm like, that is so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty wild that he did that, right? If you like look back in time, like just like I watched that 30 for 30 of Flair and like they talked about it. It's pretty wild. Like how just like the balls he had where he's like, I'm just going to go here. You know what I mean? Like,
and you got to wrestle on his long show.
Yeah. And he came out with the world heavyweight belt too.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He did.
And he dropped it. But if I was, you know, as old as Ric Flair and I'm still wrestling, so that'd be pretty wild. So
for sure.
He can do whatever he wants, right? So.
Well, Manders, I know I can speak for Susie by saying thank you for setting some time aside for us for Card Subject to Change. We know you're extremely busy. We will definitely get your social media out there once again. We want people following you. You've got a busy schedule. I love seeing pictures of the wrestlers and all the different shows they go to. I absolutely love it. It fills up my IG feed, and I can't wait to see more.
Hell yeah, likewise.
Yeah, like Nick said, thank you so much here. Really appreciate you coming on the show. We're going to wrap things up here. So thank you again, Manders. We appreciate you here. Come back anytime. For my partner, Nick Bull, you can find him at NickBull55. I am at TheWizardCZ, both on Twitter. You can find the podcast at CSTC Podcast, as well as at Card Subject Change on Facebook. Thank you again for tuning in, and we will see you next week when we're talking all things Extreme Rules from the WWE.